Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Back here in Arlington, Texas, in a 3-3 game to the bottom of the fourth inning, Shota Imanaga, the Chicago Cubs, on to face the bottom of the American League lineup. That's ball one on Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and this guy's made quite a first impression.
He's been unbelievable, and he's single-handedly keeping the Cubs afloat. I mean, this debut, he couldn't do an ask any more from the left-hander. He has the ability to keep the ball down. One of those pitches that the hitter thinks, oh, it's going to keep going down. It holds it plain, and he throws a lot of them. A lot of his strikeouts that are looking are down, but he also has an unhittable fastball up. Hitters only hitting 154 against that.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Of course, that was some kind words being said about Garrett Crochet. No, Shota Imanaga. Sorry. He's kidding. It's been a long day, guys. Not as long as this guy's day. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, CircuitLasVegas.com. It is none other than Marshall Harris. Marshall, what up?
What up?
How did you agree to this? This is the real question.
What do you mean?
You worked this morning, the morning show.
If Gabe Ramirez wants me on, you know I'm coming on with Gabe Ramirez. Let's be real.
Tyler, what did I say? I said,
you call it.
He sent me the text, Marshall, and he's like, I got Marshall coming on at 8 o'clock. And I was like, wasn't he on this morning? And I said, how did you get him on? I said, oh. And he goes, he must really like me. I said, no, it's because it's me, bro. I was like, it's because it's my boy. It's like, because he's like, oh, damn, Gabe needs a guest.
But yeah, if Tyler wants me on, I got
no, Tyler's don't, message, don't but butter up to the producer now. You, it's too late already.
What?
I already feel good about myself. Don't steal my joy.
I'm saying I love working with both y'all. Y'all are both
whatever,
great.
Bro.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't wait till maybe one day they'll be like, hey, come work with Gabe on like a real shift. And I'll be like, ha-ha.
I love those. All right, before we get to baseball, let's talk a little bit about your t-shirt at the WNBA game. While your boys were suited and booted. What's up with that, bro?
What are you talking about? I went to a game. If I go to a game, I'm going to wear appropriate attire. What are we even talking about?
Maybe right you should have took the picture.
Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? So just a background story. My boy, Ed Brockensimi, he's the weekend evening news anchor over at NBC.
Incredibly talented.
Yeah, Ebrod's great. So he hits me up. He's like, hey, I'm singing the national anthem for a Sky game. You want to come? I was like, nah, man, I got to wait. No, I don't. I was like, yeah, let's go. And as soon as he said that, I was like, when's the game? He's like, oh, it's actually a daytime game. I was like, oh, the atmosphere is going to be hype because they don't play in the daytime unless the kids are filling up the building. Right. And, you know, adults will go in there acting all cool and whatever. When the kids come, it's mayhem.
Mayhem, yeah.
And it was. So I was like, let me wear something kid appropriate, like a t-shirt to show these kids, hey, adults are out here supporting WNBA too. So I put the logo on and I was out. Now, Jamal Collier, who works for ESPN, who's also in that picture, was literally working. Ebrod was obviously dressed up because he was singing the national anthem. So I let them do them. And I did me.
So you don't like wearing suits?
That's an understatement.
I'm doing you. I'm doing a you right there, Marshall.
Listen, that is an understatement. Why am I wearing a suit in the daytime at like 10 o'clock in the morning? Come on, man.
Of course. Sky lost that game. Angel Reese drops her double-double streak. She went 3-for-13 on the day. Played 36 minutes. Got it in. But New York Liberty, they're just overwhelming, right?
Yeah, that wasn't the same game. That game happened like more recently. This is the Sky won the game I went to. They were playing the Atlanta Dream. That game is from like last Tuesday, I believe. But you know what? I had to be at work this morning. I had my alarm set for 4 a.m. You know why I couldn't go to bed? I got locked into that Sky Aces game
last night.
Like Usher was there. Floyd Mayweather was shaking his head because Kennedy Carter was doing work. She was destroying them. And I was like, this girl is out here hooping like she's playing for a contract. And I'm like, okay, look at this. I was like, the Sky really heading into the All-Star break / the Olympic break on a high note. Let's see what they do in a second. And then today, they trade Marina Mabry. I was like, wait, what are we doing?
That was wild.
What do we do? I saw a response to the announcement of the trade that made all this. You'll appreciate this, Gabe. You know what it was? It was Bulls with the handshake emoji with the sky, not caring about spacing.
Oh, come on. Come on.
So they neither one of them got three-point shooting now.
Because of the Angel Reese, Camila Cardoso combo?
Well, Marina Mabry was their three-point threat.
Right.
Yes, that's what she does.
Right.
You look at the Bulls. Who's shooting threes for the Bulls?
Yeah,
besides Kobe White.
But look, they got a first-round pick out of it, out of the trade.
How's that help them this year?
2025. Well, they're at the bottom of the league this year.
I mean, they're going to make the playoffs, Gabe.
Yeah, but they're not, you know, it's not like they're great.
They were going to make the playoffs. I don't know if they can hold on to the eighth spot like that.
That's what I'm saying.
And now Angel Reese is probably not going to win Rookie of the Year because it's probably going to be Caitlin Clark because she doesn't have any help. They're going to double. She's getting double team, triple team, quadruple team points now. So, like, they need spacing. So, I know this is not why you wanted me
on
your show.
This is equally as interesting. This is equally as interesting because there's no actual baseball being played right now. And these are actual games that are being played. And I think, you know, I would talk to you about the Fire, but you know, that's something I can't talk to you about. We could talk about that off the air, but
I need to get out to a Fire game now.
Hey.
I've been to two Sky games and zero Fire games this summer.
And you know the host of the Fire,
and he probably
can get you a pair. I would think. The next game though, you cannot get tickets to the next game though. Next
match. That's messy.
Yeah, that's messy. That's the messy. You cannot. I will not give you tickets to that match.
The in-arena host has his limits.
But after that, you know, it's funny. I'll tell you the story last year. I think this is good just for like people that are out there listening. You know, they got their jobs, and you know, if you're 1099 and like I do with some people, including the Fire, you got to be smart about things. And last year with the messy match, you know, it got tight. Obviously, it's the messy match, so you know, nobody's really trying to just dish out tickets. And then they were like, hey, we got your two tickets, you know, for the match. And I was like, oh, I was like, I really hate to be this guy. I was like, but it's in my contract that I got to get four tickets to every home match. And I was like, these four tickets are accounted for. We got to get those out. So I couldn't tell wifey no, right? So, I mean, I needed the four tickets, right?
Right. But I remember how many minutes Messi played in that game.
Whoa. Did you see Lil Durk's performance, though? It's great. And you see who they got? See who the Fire got this year to perform?
Nah, who's going?
How do you not know this,
man?
I feel like it should be common knowledge in Chicago. Well, clearly it's not. But that's why we're talking about it. Jason Derulo.
Oh, for real?
Wow, that was a high pitch for real. You must be in.
No, I'm just like I'm a little. You know what? I underestimated. I was not familiar with their game, like Shaq says.
Yes, Chicago Fire about that life, man.
Okay, so that they're making sure that even if Messi doesn't play.
You will be entertained. And it's not a halftime performance. It's not a halftime performance either. It is a post-show concert.
Oh, that's real.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, all right.
And then hopefully they have the same type of outcome that they had last year when Messi didn't play.
Exactly.
Put up a bunch of goals.
Exactly. Maybe if they can just get that host under control and do something about him, maybe they can get... No, wait. Okay.
Nah, the host is under control. He's got everything. He's got everything under control.
Yeah, he does. And the host,
except for his love for the Bulls and the White Sox, which you know, those teams help temper that love themselves.
Marshall, as you know, is my friend now. When I love uncontrollably. Doesn't matter what it is. He is Marshall That's Harris. Fair. I am Gabe Ramirez. This is 670 The Score. And Marshall, you know, obviously, you know, we can talk about the Sky. We can talk about the Chicago Fire. But I want to talk about two teams that had individuals at the representatives at the All-Star Games, how they performed. Of course, I'm talking about Shota Imanaga, Garrett Crochet. Takeaways from two new guys, right? You're talking about a Garrett Crochet that's getting his first opportunity with the White Sox to be a starter and be the man. And then Shota Imanaga, first time even in Major League Baseball. Thoughts on their performances last night?
So you got two rookies doing their thing in the All-Star game and two rookies by very different ways, if we're being honest. You know, Garrett Crochet, remember, he came in the season and hadn't made a start since college. You got Shota Imanaga, who probably thought he was going to be on a bit of a more contending team, which, you know, they're only 3.5 games out of a wild card spot, the Cubs are, but there's a lot of teams between them and the said wild card spot. And only one pitcher last night came in and was perfect for the National League, and that was Shota Imanaga. Threw a perfect inning. Crochet looked good as well. So, like, I thought that they were very – their performances were very much what you would expect from them if you watched them all season long. And, it's just sad that they only had one representative from each of those teams. And it's really sad because the White Sox are about to lose a whole bunch more games. I was talking about it this morning. I mean, it's crazy that Eric Fetty's 7-3 and Garrett Crochet has 6 wins. That's 13 combined wins. The team has 27 total wins, right?
Yeah.
And they're in danger. They're in real danger of losing more than the 120 games from the, 62 Mets. It's a real possibility. I was looking this up because I knew it was coming on your show tonight, and I was like, wait, what do they have to do to avoid losing 121 games? Well, it's not good. They got to go. No, I'm serious. I'm being dead serious. They basically got to go 15 and 49 the rest of the way, which that's 22% of your games you got to win.
Sox are not like, okay, that's losing 100 people, games.
Right? What'd you say?
What, this 39?
I said 15 and 49.
Okay.
That's what they need to go, which is like winning roughly 23% of your games, which is doable. Problem is they've only won 27.6% of their games so far. And in 3 weeks, those guys that are helping to power that probably won't be on the team. Betty, Crochet, Luis Robert Jr., Tommy Pham, the list goes on and on. They're about to cash in all the chips. So it's problematic. Meanwhile, the Cubs, I don't know, man. Cody Bellinger injury? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. They're going to have to make a type of run they made at this point last season to say, we're not going to sell.
What's more likely, the White Sox avoiding 100 losses or the
Cubs? 100 losses? Oh, that's in the bag. They're going to lose 100 games.
Why can't you just let me be happy? Why can't you just let me give you a scenario where I'm an optimistic Sox fan here?
Yeah, I know. We all have our strengths and weaknesses.
All right, fine.
Go ahead.
No, fine.
No, go ahead.
No, you stole my joy, man.
No, I didn't mean that's not what I'm trying to do.
Well, because then you say that, and I'm like, why am I asking this question about my White Sox? And I'm like,
no, listen, man. No, to avoid 100 losses, Gabe,
yeah.
To avoid 100 losses, they would have to go
62 games left,
and 28.
Right?
36 and 28. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
36-28.
A little above 500 to end the season, you know, playing some
8 games over 500.
But maybe when you do trade those guys, and we're going to get to that Garrett Crochet trade in a second, but maybe when you do trade those guys.
Drew Thorpe can't start every game, Gabe.
Okay, but Cannon could start pitching better. You can maybe get back some guys that want to prove. This is the thing. Here's the thing. The same way you got Fetty playing well, same way you got Tommy Pham playing well, you got Paul DeJong trying to just go yard every time. The same way you got those guys, it's because they want to go somewhere else. They want to, you know, you're going to get guys back that are going to try and prove the exact same thing. You're going to get guys that are going to want a contract next season. These guys are going to come here and then fade away into
dust.
They're
getting major league ready talent back?
They're going to get somebody back to play the positions.
Yeah, they're trying to rebuild their farm system.
Yeah, they're going to get young players, but they're still going to get ready talent. Just like when they traded Dylan Cease away, they got a starter. Like someone to throw in there.
You're confusing a fully grown, ready to harvest garden with a bunch of seeds. They're getting back a bunch of watermelon seeds.
Fair. I'm just telling you.
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm the bearer of bad news today, but come on, Gabe.
Okay, let's get to the Garrett Crochet thing. No, let's get to the Garrett Crochet thing.
What's that?
I don't think they're going to trade him. I don't think they're going to
get him. Why do you think they're not going to trade him?
Because I would like to think, as a Sox fan and a fan of Chris Getz, right, and the little moves that he's made so far, because he has just pulled the trigger, that maybe Chris Getz thinks that Garrett Crochet is good enough to keep. And that I understand you haven't paid people money in the past. But maybe you will. Maybe you will. And so,
so you think the Sox are going to get the money for a new ballpark by the trade deadline?
No, man.
That's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying you have control for this guy until 2026-27, and Popeye, you got a pitch here. I got you. You got a pitch here. And I'm gonna get talent and young guys. There's talent in the farm right now. There's talent to come in the form of trades when you get rid of guys like Fetty and such. Maybe some of your relievers in the back end, Michael Kopech, who knows? You're gonna get talent there. And then you keep Garrett Crochet to be the guy. And then you just build around. You got somebody, you got your opening day starter next year, and you're good. You're not buying this.
As much as I love you, and as much as I want this to be the case, Garrett Crochet is so much more valuable in a David Price type role. Remember him in 2002 when he came out of the bullpen and lit the world on fire and then came back the next year as a starter and was dominant?
Yeah.
That's what teams are looking at when they see Garrett Crochet right now. And he can help people win. It would be malpractice for Chris Getz not to cash in on that, knowing that the White Sox are probably still 3 to 4 years away.
He's going to be dominating the league. You know what I mean? It's not like you're trading a guy on the tail end of his career or, you know, a guy that, okay, you don't want to pay him now. Like it's like you're finding a gem and then, and I get it. And I hear what you're saying. So I'm not saying it to make everyone then agree with my take. I understand that Garrett Crochet's value is extremely high right now. And with teams clamoring, so many teams feeling as though they have a shot this year and maybe not valuing their minor league system as much, that you can get what people are saying is a haul for Garrett Crochet. And I understand that.
You're making my point for me.
I know. No. I'm making both points because I think both things can be true. I think the potential for a haul is there, and you do have to look at that. But that's why Chris Getz gets paid the big dollars. That's why he's in the position that he's in. So he can then weigh the two. And I think he is weighing it, and I don't think it's something that's just a foregone conclusion. At least in my mind, as a Sox fan, I am hoping and holding on to that. Like, I would love to watch Garrett Crochet on the White Sox for 10 years. Right? I'd love it. And
you know who else I'd love to watch pitch for the White Sox for 10 years?
Who?
Dylan Cease. How'd that work out?
Okay, but he's not here now. And Dylan Cease, to be honest, I wasn't the biggest fan of Dylan Cease. He was super inconsistent in the beginning of his career. No, he was inconsistent in the beginning of his career. And then he had that really great year. And then he came back and he had that I don't care about anything year. And then now he's playing for the Padres with a good team and he's just in the middle of the road, you know, just knocking people down with strikeouts. Anyways, Garrett Crochet is here, though. I am hurt from the loss of Dylan Cease. I am hurt from the loss of Chris Sale. And I am now in a position where I see somebody there and I'm like, okay, hey, guys, how about this guy? I think this guy's good. Can we give him the money? Can we say that this is, you know, our White Sox, you know, guy? No, no, no.
I mean, I like your fantasy, Will. You know, I really do. Like, I'm happy that there are fans like you that still exist, like with that level of
fandom,
confidence / delusion, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I'll say this. You know who leads baseball in strikeouts?
Garrett Crochet.
You know who's second?
Chris Sale.
Dylan Cease.
And Chris Sale's right below him, right? Somewhere down there.
Yeah, it's a 150 for your guy Crochet. It's 149 for Cease. That's how I can tell you he's right behind him. And I just think this is how better teams are built. Whenever you want to admit that the White Sox are a mid-market team, you'll be okay.
Whoa.
But right now you're acting like the White Sox are a mid-market team.
Whoa. I don't want to cut this conversation short. Whoa. Papa, we are in Chicago. I know you're not from here, but we are in Chicago.
Bro. Andrew Benintendi. You know who he is?
Yes, the Detroit Tigers
announcer.
The
largest free agent deal in White Sox history. They've never even paid a player $100 million.
I know, and I know. I get this.
That's a mid-market team, bro.
It's an owner that feels like he's smarter than baseball and can figure it out. And he did it in 2005. He thought he could do it again with his team when they won when they made it to the ALDS in 2021. Just 3 years ago, let's not forget.
How many games they win that series again, Gabe?
I'm just saying they got there, right? With this payroll and this thing that people were laughing at, but he got there. They got the most out of those guys when they had them in that moment, and they thought they was going to duplicate it, but they didn't. So they got to hit the drawing board.
They got the most out of those guys? You feel like that team hit its ceiling?
Okay, let's look at it in retrospect. Did they not get the most out of those guys in that year? That's what I just said. In that year, that's when they got the most, and they did.
Oh, man.
Two of those guys aren't even employed anymore. Three. They got the best.
Yeah. At least the White Sox didn't pay Jose Abreu, right?
Let's go to the Cubbies so you could talk, so you can get a little happier in your conversation. How about
that? Yeah, absolutely. We can get more realistic.
Yeah. Go ahead. Tell me about how the Cubs are going to miss the playoffs.
I didn't say they were going to miss the playoffs.
Oh, I thought you said a realistic conversation. See?
The Cubs are in a bad spot right now, but they've played better leading into the All-Star break, you know, the 5-2 week. Splitting with the Cardinals, if they could have won 3 or 4, that would have been more impressive. But you have to like where they are, except for the fact that Cody Bellinger got hurt. Like, if Cody Bellinger wasn't hurt, I feel like we'd be having a different conversation and there'd be a different tenor when you discuss the Cubs. Right now, we just got to see what they do coming out of the break. And they've got 2 weeks to prove something. I think we can both agree on that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And if they don't prove it, it's not like they're going to trade Cody Bellinger, I don't think, because I don't think he's going to be healthy. So, hey, they just have to – Pete Crow Armstrong has to show he can hit. You know, you have the guys who need to play up to the potential of the back of their baseball cards. It's a whole team worth of that, you know?
Wow, are you talking about Michael Bush? Are you talking about the White Sox? Oh.
I'm talking – no, oh. I know what the Paul DeYoungs and Nicky Lopez's do.
Okay, I was talking about it.
Is that fair?
I got you. When you're looking at the Cubs, Marshall, and because they're certainly a capable team, that we do know, right? The starting pitching is there, the rotation is there. I know that the back end of the bullpen hasn't necessarily lived up to the billing, but you know, I still think they have the talent there, and clearly they're going to make some moves to bring in hopefully a bat, hopefully a reliever. Is it that simple? For this Cubs team specifically, I know you mentioned the Cody Bellinger injury, but you know the roster, who they have there. If you're at creating some movement to bring additions in, is it as simple as bringing in two pieces to just make them a playoff team?
No, because if you bring in two pieces, the guys who are there, the Dansby Swansons, the Nico Horners, they still have to play like they've played in years past. They can't play like Christopher Morel needs to bat higher. Yes, I know he can hit the ball out of the ballpark, but he's got to be more consistent. The catcher has to hit somewhat more. That's what has to happen. Seiya Suzuki needs to be more tiddling around 800 with an OPS. You need more from your corner outfielders and corner infielders, and they need to be healthy.
Yeah, when you're looking at some of the, you know, some of the players, again, I think, and this happens a lot, and you and I, we've had these conversations about expectations that fans and the city puts on players, right, that play in Chicago, because you're Chicago, so the expectations are there. You're like, Miguel Amaya, have you seen a play? This guy's going to be an all-star catcher. And then it's like, we put that expectation on him, and then when they don't perform, you know, we have the Pete Crow Armstrong, the greatest center fielder to ever play baseball. And then, you know, you get down on him in certain situations, but I think ultimately that's what it is. I think the expectations sometimes are a bit too high for certain players, but I think people that you're pointing out, right? The Dansby Swansons, the Michael Bushes, guys that have shown it, the Sayas, like those are the guys that need to be the core of the squad, produce on a regular, and then have other guys fill in on other nights when you need them to get those victories where you're trying to find a way.
To be clear, Michael Bush is, like, if I told you Michael Bush was going to be doing this, you'd think the Cubs would be above 500, right? Like, at the start of the season?
Right.
They're getting more from Michael Bush than they're getting from all these other guys. So, I think the biggest thing for the Cubs right now is 1 through 9, they just have to be better offensively. The bullpen, that's a different animal. Now, maybe they do go out and get some bullpen help. That could help their case. But the offense, like, going to get a bat or two, like, you need the bats on the team to perform. Like it's that simple. Like scoring 1, 2, 3 runs a game isn't going to cut it against the caliber of competition they're facing right now in the wild card race in the NL. I mean, they're 8.5 out of first. Do you see them coming back and taking over that? No. But stranger things have happened, yes. But to win the wild card, like, first just get to 500. How about that?
Yeah.
And then we can start having a conversation. Until they're a 500 baseball team, what are we even talking about?
Yeah, and they'll have the opportunity to get closer to 500 beginning on Friday. Cubs taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks. You could listen to that right here on 670 The Score. First pitch, 1:20 p.m. Yeah, you know, when you're looking at this roster, you're looking at the offense, Marshall. You know, when Ian Happ, no shade to Ian, I think he's great, right?
Oh, Ian's been playing well. Ian is one of the guys who's actually been playing well.
But to your point, though, right? Like, if I tell you Ian Happ is, you know, second on the team in homers, leading the team in RBIs, you know, you're going to be like, what? Wait, what? Did the other guys get hurt? Did somebody get hurt?
And you're like, yeah, it's rough out here.
It's rough. It's rough. We should go to a game. Sweet. Now that, you know, you and I have some free time, we should go to a game soon.
When do you want to go to a game? I can't this week, but I got work. I got that thing.
I won't say what it is, but yes.
I actually have to do some work this week, but yeah, I'm down to go to a game. Yeah. That sounds great.
Day games are my favorite, but usually White Sox games. Friday Cubs games. I go to those if we catch a Friday. But, you know, Sox will play like on a Wednesday or Thursday at 1:00. Not a lot of people there. You get to chill out, relax.
Just walk down and pick your seat, right?
I didn't say all that, bro. See, you didn't have to double down mine. I was trying to do some self-deprecating with
White Sox. I'm excited about the prospect of paying like $5 to get in and then walking down and sitting wherever.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm a White Sox fan, Gabe.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I am a Sox fan.
Right, no, Birmingham Barons. He's from Alabama. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Marshall Harris.
My bad, Gabe. I feel like I bombed this segment. I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry.
It actually is. This is actually great radio for me. But this is two friends talking, and that's what radio should be. And that's exactly what we gave for the last 26 minutes. All right, bro. I'll holler at you, man. I'll be around this weekend too. I'm going to Sumo and Sushi. Have you seen that? I'm going to Sumo and Sushi.
No, but I let me know what that is. Also, Tyler, I appreciate you, bro. Thanks for having me on.
The callback.
Thanks for having me, Tyler.
That's why he's a professional.
You're welcome, Marshall.
Oh my gosh, both of you. You guys are disgusting.
See you guys.
Bye. Marshall Harris, make sure you follow him. Good guy all around town. You know, I should have put him back on the line. We didn't talk about him almost breaking up a marriage. We talked about that. He wouldn't want me to talk about that. All right. We got more stuff to talk about on the way. That was a good one. Phone lines are open if you had anything to say about the conversation, Cubs, Sox, maybe even the Caleb Williams signing. Any reservations you might have after it's come down and it is official and, you know, his first game is just a couple weeks away. Would love to chat with you about that. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. Take your calls and some more thoughts on the other side before we get out of here at 9:00. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, hanging out with you guys, man. Hopefully you guys are having a good night. Hopefully getting home safe. Shout out to everybody that's heading to work. People are always texting me or hit me up on Twitter and they're like, Gabe, you need to be on overnights on The Score. I'm like, Papa. I appreciate you shifters, third shifters, but I am not that. And then, you know, because I've worked every shift, like, you know, in my entire life, I've never worked a 9-to-5. That's wild. Cause I feel like that's just the thing. Like at some point you work it or like you hear about that often. I guess you haven't either, right? What'd you work a 9-to-5? What was your 9-to-5?
It's like a different, I wouldn't say it's like exactly 9-to-5, but it's similar hours, I guess.
What, this?
No, not this.
What was it?
So I technically still have this job because I'm not full time here at The Score,
okay.
But I am a doorman at a family wellness practice out in Arlington Heights.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so like older people or just.
Yeah, I'd say like middle age, like 40s, 50s average age.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up. I didn't know that. See, that's cool though. That's not what I was thinking. Like, I'm thinking like, you know, behind the desk, punch numbers and.
Yeah, that's why I was like, it's not typical. Like, you know, you think office job, cubicle. Yeah. It's not really that.
I'd love for you to text in if you're listening right now. 312-644-6767. You listen to the score. Maybe you're headed to it. Like, what's that gig? Yeah, so I've always had like random hours, done random shifts and stuff like that. So it's always been interesting. I want to take some phone calls too. Like I said, phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Joe. How about that? Let's go to him first. Joe out in St. Charles. Welcome to the show, man. Thanks for hanging out.
Good evening. You know, I've rooted for some bad Cubs teams in my life, and I sympathize with Sox fans. But be that as it may, right now, as it stands, who on the White Sox do you think could start for the Cubs?
Okay, thanks for the call, Joe. I appreciate it. I mean, I think there's a lot of them, but that's just my delusional Sox fan face. You know what I mean? I think if you're talking about pitchers...
He did say you can include pitchers.
Yeah, if you're talking about... If we're going to include pitchers, I mean, that's a long list, I would say, or longer list.
Can we start with Garrett Crochet?
I mean, the fact of the matter is this, there's only so many starting positions, right? So the number that you're going to be able to come up with, if I say one... I mean, we know that the Cubs have a better team than the White Sox in the present, right? So the assumption would be that those Cubs should have guys that are starting in place of what would be a White Sox replacement. But first baseman, you'd certainly have Andrew Vaughn starting, especially how hot he's been as of late. You definitely put Luis Robert Jr. in center over Pete Carr Armstrong. Because you'd still put Belly at first.
Do you think, legit question, do you think, right, obviously Luis Robert Jr. is the much better bat. Who's a better fielder right now between Luis Robert Jr. and Pete Carr Armstrong?
Do you watch the Cubs games? I mean, this is an honest answer. This is an honest question.
Yes.
Are you watching all these Cubs games?
Yes.
Yeah. He has gaffes. It's not like he's flawless out there. He makes great plays. I remember Hawk Harrelson saying once about Torii Hunter. He's like, and I'm not saying this about Pete Carr Armstrong, but I'm just talking about a style of play in center field. He's like, if you don't have great reads on the ball, but you're fast, you're going to make the catches look exciting. And Hawk Harrelson used to always say that about Torii Hunter from the Minnesota Twins. That Torii Hunter always looked good because the reads were bad, so then he'd end up diving at things.
Like highlight reel plays.
Yeah. And then he would compare it with a guy like Aaron Rowan, former center fielder for the White Sox, and say Aaron Rowan gets such a good jump on the ball. He's always there. So it never looks spectacular. You know what I mean? So I guess with Pete Carr Armstrong, if he can get there, like I love the ability to make incredible plays. If the reads are better, then they shouldn't be happening as often. Right?
Makes sense.
Because how many outfielders do you see getting the opportunity to just be diving everywhere? Right? You know, so you're making better reads, you're getting hops, throwing. Anyway, Luis Robert Jr. over Pete Carr Armstrong, yes. Andrew Vaughn playing first base, yes. Outside of that, I mean, you might want Corey Lee playing catcher instead of who the Cubs got right now.
Yeah, Corey Lee over, you got either Tomas Nito or Miguel Amaya.
Right.
I take Corey Lee, the young bat.
That's what I'm...
Miguel Amaya has not proved anything this last year and a half.
They have the same potential, but Corey Lee's still got more to go, right?
That's the hope there. Agree with that.
So, man, I made a case for 33% of the roster.
Well, what about third base? Because I feel like the Cubs, that's maybe the biggest mysterious position on that team. The White Sox, obviously, if he was healthy, Yoán Moncada, but you can't really say that too often, right?
Well, you can't even... I wouldn't even... allow Yoán Moncada to be into the argument that John asked for.
That's a big question mark for both teams then.
It's not even playing, you know? So I think I think that's pretty much it. Like everywhere else, you know, I think everybody else is interchangeable or Cubs are better, right? Like Andrew Benintendi, I'm not going to, you know, Seiya, right? I'd want him there. I'd want Seiya there. You know, second base, it's without, like second base and shortstop, not even a. Like,
yeah, Nico and Dansby. Yeah, right? Yeah, like, for sure.
You'd be foolish to argue anything else. And then, yeah, so I gave you three. Catcher, first base, center field.
Who would you count mostly for first base for the Cubs? Bellinger or Michael Busch?
I know it's tough because I'd want to count Busch because then that'd give me the leeway to swap out Andrew Vaughn and put him there. Fine, I'd say Andrew Vaughn is your DH then.
Okay, that makes sense. That?
Andrew Vaughn as your DH. Leave Christopher Morel over Pete Crow Armstrong. Excuse me. Leave Luis Robert Jr. over Christopher. Damn. What am I doing? Luis Robert Jr. over Pete Crow Armstrong in center field. Okay. And then Corey Lee over Miguel Amaya. And Nito at catching. That's what I'm thinking.
Now, I could go with that.
And then
for
with
sure.
Pitching, I don't know. Would you want Michael Kopech closing for you if you're a Cubs fan?
Okay. Would you take Michael Kopech or Hard Attack Hector? Hector
I'm
Neris.
Sure they'd take Hector Neris. Okay. I'd want Hector Neris, who I think. I don't know. I don't like this game anymore. It's making me sad again.
I was really hoping you would not say Christopher Morel at third base. I would veto you right then and there. I'm done with Christopher Morel at third base.
And you're saying that with a Cubs hat on? Where do you want him then? I think Craig Counsell did there are some things that people can question, but Craig Counsell coming in at the beginning of the season saying, this kid needs to play somewhere, and we're going to deal with whatever we have to deal with at third base. And I think you say that so that you don't have to answer the question that I'm asking you, which is then where are you putting him? Which was the question everybody asked Rossi all last season.
It's a great question because I mean his batting numbers outside of the, you know, 16, 17 home runs and almost 50 RBIs, he's been floating around 200 the whole year. That's not acceptable in my opinion.
Yeah. Sean Sears will tell you to look at some other things, but you just want him to have a little bit more production, right? You're looking for the productivity in the middle of the lineup. You want the big bat, that's what you're looking for via the trade market, and you would hope, or you were hoping, that Christopher Morel would be able to give you a bit more. That's why I understand your frustration.
If he shows improvement over the second half, because I don't know what their plan is for him, then I will definitely take that under consideration. But with this first half, I'm not very for it right now.
Yeah, all right. A lot of opinions surrounding the Cubs and the Sox, not only in the second half of the season, but going into the offseason, trying to figure out what both teams would look like for the near future. But again, Cubs, they'll have their first opportunity to look a little bit better against a tough team, Arizona Diamondbacks. Cubs taking on Arizona Friday. First pitch, 1:20 p.m. Make sure you guys are here for that on 670 The Score. On the other side, before I get out of here, I'll let you guys know who just scored a goal for the Chicago Fire, baby. They're on the board. I'll tell you who next. Don't go anywhere.
We're back. Live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Yes, sir. We're about to get up out of here. It's always a pleasure being on The Score. Whether it is filling in like I did yesterday with Molly or just hanging solo. I get to do it again on Friday. I think Friday's a 7 to 9 show, though. Is that what it is? Can you check the schedule?
Yeah, I believe you're correct because we have the first training camp live from 6 to 7 o'clock.
With Grody?
With Mark Grody.
I'm going to make his ass stay. I'm going to text him. I'm like, dude, do 7 to 9 with me. Come hang out. I like doing shows with people. I got to be honest. I think that's one thing I've learned doing, like, when I was at B96, it was always groups. You know, groups of people. Then you come to The Score and you're doing solo shows. And there are two types of hosts, right? And I remember one of my mentors told me that when I was younger, he said, Gabe, you got to figure out, do you want to do solo shows or do you want to be part of a group? And yeah, doing like solo shifts, like, hey, this is me. And that's not my thing. I like talking to people. I like hearing opinions. I like jokingly arguing. I like doing that kind of stuff. So
you like the banter. You like the back and forth.
I do. Like, I just, you know, get it. I don't think that I'm so important that you want to hear me talk for 20 minutes straight. And just in my mind, I wouldn't want to hear me talk for 20 minutes straight. So as interesting as I try to curate a great show, I try to, you know, be entertaining, but I'd much rather do it with somebody else. so that that way we can be funny, especially with somebody that I like. And because then we can talk about things that I do enjoy, like soccer. Chicago Fire. Shout out to Chicago Fire, baby. They just won 1-0 today. Nice little Wednesday game playing against Charlotte FC. Brian Gutierrez. The reason why you should know a guy like Brian Gutierrez is because he's from right here. So think about that. A guy who's from Chicago just scored a goal for the Chicago Fire and propelled them to a victory. Like, that's huge. That's great. You play for a professional team and you're from here. It's a big deal, man. So shout out to Brian Gutierrez. He actually, last year I'm going to do it this year too, be hosting Lollapalooza's live broadcast on Hulu. Did it last year, going to do it again this year. And so I was able to bring some of the Chicago Fire players to the Artist Lounge. I threw them on Hulu. We did a segment, the whole thing. Guti was one of them. Good guy, understands what's going on. He's doing it well. And I'm glad that he scored the goal because he is somewhere that we should be able to get behind here in the city of Chicago, man. All right, play my theme music, man. Play my music. So I could thank my people. First of all, if you follow me on Twitter or Instagram, I'll follow you back right now while I'm walking to my car. All right, Chicago_Gabe. I got some good stuff on IG. That's where I really do the majority of my stuff, on Instagram. But Twitter, you can follow me as well. I post up on there all the time as well. Chicago_Gabe. You follow me, I'll follow you back. I want to thank my guests today. Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago. Trey Wingo, the legend, hanging out. And then, of course, my guy, Marshall Harris. No, just lying. And, of course, Marshall Harris. He is a guy that pushes me daily because he is so buttoned up. And I admire him greatly. So, Marshall, if you're still listening, you the man, brother. I want to thank my producer today, Tyler Ferengall, Baby T. I said that's his radio name. Who gave you that name? It was me. That it was. It's been a while since we've heard that. Gotta get you some fresh. I like the callback though. All right. Next time you'll hear me, as I mentioned, Friday, 7 to 9 PM, right here on 670 The Score. Tomorrow and Friday before that, you can catch me on Stadium, hosting Stadium Clubhouse and The Rally. On that Stadium app. That's where I'll be on Thursday and Friday. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, you turkeys. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Yes, sir. We're about to get up out of here. It's always a pleasure being on The Score. Whether it is filling in like I did yesterday with Molly or just hanging solo. I get to do it again on Friday. I think Friday's a 7 to 9 show, though. Is that what it is? Can you check this schedule?
Yeah, I believe you're correct because we have the first training camp live from 6 to 7 o'clock.
With Grody?
With Mark Grody.
I'm going to make his ass stay. I'm going to text him. I'm like, dude, do 7 to 9 with me. Come hang out. I like doing shows with people. I got to be honest. I think that's one thing I've learned doing, like, when I was at B96, it was always groups, you know, groups of people. Then you come to The Score and you're doing solo shows. And there are two types of hosts, right? And I remember somebody, one of my mentors told me that when I was younger, he said, Gabe, you got to figure out, do you want to do solo shows or do you want to be part of a group? And yeah, doing like solo shifts, like, hey, this is me. That's not my thing. I like talking to people. I like hearing opinions. I like jokingly arguing. I like doing that kind of stuff. So
you like the banter. You like the back and forth.
I do. Like, I just, you know, get a breath. I don't think that I'm so important that you want to hear me talk for 20 minutes straight. Just in my mind, I wouldn't want to hear me talk for 20 minutes straight. So as interesting as I try to curate a great show. I try to, you know, be entertaining, but I'd much rather do it with somebody else so that way we can be funny, especially with somebody that I like. And because then we can talk about things that I do enjoy, like soccer. Chicago Fire. Shout out to Chicago Fire, baby. They just won 1-0 today. Nice little Wednesday game playing against Charlotte FC. Brian Gutierrez. The reason why you should know a guy like Brian Gutierrez is because he's from right here. So think about that. A guy who's from Chicago just scored a goal for the Chicago Fire and propelled them to a victory. Like, that's huge. That's great. You play for a professional team and you're from here. It's a big deal, man. So shout out to Brian Gutierrez. He actually, last year I'm going to do it this year too, be hosting Lollapalooza's live broadcast on Hulu. Did it last year, going to do it again this year. And so I was able to bring some of the Chicago Fire players to the Artist Lounge. I threw them on Hulu. We did a segment, the whole thing. Guti was one of them. Good guy, understands what's going on. He's doing it well. And I'm glad that he scored the goal because he is somewhere that we should be able to get behind here in the city of Chicago, man. All right, play my theme music, man. Play my music. So I could thank my people. First of all, if you follow me on Twitter or Instagram, I'll follow you back right now while I'm walking to my car. All right. Chicago underscore Gabe. I got some good stuff on IG. That's where I really do the majority of my stuff, on Instagram. But Twitter, you can follow me as well. I post up on there all the time as well. Chicago underscore Gabe. You follow me, I'll follow you back. I want to thank my guests today. Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago. Trey Wingo, the legend, hanging out. And then, of course, my guy, Marshall Harris. No, just like. And, of course, Marshall Harris. He is a guy that pushes me daily because he is so buttoned up. And I admire him greatly. So, Marshall, if you're still listening, you're the man, brother. I want to thank my producer today, Tyler Ferengall, Baby T. I said that's his radio name. Who gave you that name? It was me. That it was.
It's
been a while since we've heard that. Gotta get you some fresh. I like the callback though. All right. Next time you'll hear me, as I mentioned, Friday, 7 to 9 PM, right here on 670 The Score. Tomorrow and Friday before that, you can catch me on Stadium, hosting Stadium Clubhouse and The Rally. On that Stadium app. That's where I'll be on Thursday and Friday. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, you turkeys. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.